So we began Daf Kof Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara looks for nafkaminis between the two Lashonos of Rava. Let's go over the two Lashonos of Rava. Rava says that Eid Zome Mikanu Lahavahu Nifsal. And we gave the example that the testimony, the original testimony took place, Reuven and Shimon testified on Sunday. On Tuesday, Levi and Yehuda came in and said, Ibanu Ayisem on Sunday. But in the meantime, on Monday, this Reuven and Shimon gave another testimony. They signed on a shtar. And here the Gemara says that according to Rava, Mikanu Lahabu Nifsal, that any edus, any testimony that they gave, this original, oh, thank you so much, Reuven and Shimon, would be valid up until the moment of Hazama on Tuesday. And the Gemara offers two explanations for Rava. The first explanation was Chidush, that we don't understand why the Torah believes the Edom HaMazim of the second pair of Edom, and we have a principle when it comes to Chidush, then Ein Lecha Bo El Mishas Chidusha V'Yelech. So they only became possible with the shame Ein Zomeim is Chal, is only emerges after the Azoma. And the Gemara gives another explanation of Rava, in the second Lishon of Rava, that Mikan Ulahabu Nifsal is a Gzeres Chachomim, is a Takonis Chachomim, Mishum Pseida de Lekuchos. That we don't want to have any person lose out as a result of the fact that he naively relied on these Edom. He had no way of knowing that they were Psulim. And therefore we're going to only establish the Psul Mikan Ulahava. And we had a long discussion yesterday about why it's Pseida Lekuchos and not we're worried about Pseida de Mochrim, what about the sellers? And the Gemara has two nafkaminas. The first nafkamina was Ishadu Beitrei Bechad, that two witnesses, let's call them Yehuda and Levi, they testified against Reuven, that Imanu Ayisem, and another pair of Edom come in, we'll call it Yisachar and Zvulun, and they testified against Shimon, that Shimon was Imanu Ayisem. Or Yisah, I should say, right, in the singular. And in that case, we don't have two Edom against two Edom. We have two Edom against one Edom. And in two Edom against one Edom, we clearly believe the two Edom that form a unit of a Akat against the one single Edom. And therefore there's no Chidush anymore. And if there's no Chidush, then Rav agrees to Abaye. Abaye was the one who said Eid Zomim L'mafreyahu Nifsal. However, if you go with Pseida Lekuchos, then even in this case there's Pseida Lekuchos, because nobody was privy to that information that these Edom, Reuben and Shimon, are Psulim. And the second Afkamina between the two Lashonos of Rava was Pasulininu Begaz Lenusa, that the Edom came in to testify, let's call it Yehuda, Levi and Yehuda, they came in to testify against Reuven and Shimon that they were Gazlonim, that they had violated Gzela sometime in the past, and then we would definitely say L'mafreyahu Nifsal because of Chidush, because this is not a Chidush. There's no way that the original Edom, Reuven and Shimon, could protect themselves and counter with Edus against the Edom that are apostling them, because now they're on trial. But if you go with Pseida Lekuchos, then that would apply even the case of Pasulin and Begaz Lenusa. Then at the end of yesterday's discussion, we began the new sugya of Abai Varova, which is going to be a machlokas about Mumar Ochel Nevelos Lahachis. And we described it as a case where this Jew, unfortunately, because he's so rebellious, you can give him two pieces of meat, tell him this one on the right is kosher, this one on the left is treif. And even if you're charging him the same price, exactly the same price for both, he's going to eat the treifa meat. He's a lahachisness. You know, he really wants to rebel. And you and I would have said intuitively that such a person is a rasha. And the Torah says, al toshes rasha eid, that you don't accept an aid of testify a witness who is a rasha. And that's indeed the opinion of Abaye. Abai says he's possible because the Torah says Al Toshes Rasha Eid. But Rava says, wait a minute, read the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk calls him an Eid Chamas, which means that for the love of money he will falsify his testimony. Well, this guy is not doing it for the love of money. To him, both these pieces of meat are the same exact price, so he doesn't gain anything by eating the treifa. And therefore, Rava says, Kasha Rasha de Chamas be'inan. The only time the Torah passes a Rasha is when he's a Rasha de Chamas. And here the Gemara introduces what's called Mumar Ochel Nevelos Leteyavon. Here's a person who will eat nevela in order to save money. Right? Nevela is accessible, nevela is cheaper than kosher meat. So for the love of money, he'll violate the Issa Nevela. He's not doing it lahachis. If the price was the same, he would be very comfortable to eat kosher meat, but he's now motivated by saving money. And that motivation is so powerful that he would even violate the Torah law and eat non-kosher food for the sake of saving money. In that case, even Rav agrees that he's called a Rosh of the Chamas, he's Pasolyedus Midoraisa, because he eats Nevela L'Teyamon, and he's doing so for the love of money. And such a person is suspect that he might take a bribe and falsify his testimony for the love of money, because he violates the Torah, and he's proven so. He eats Nevela for the sake of money, so he'll violate the Losana Reached Shaker, and he'll falsify his testimony for the love of money. But what about a Rasha of Mumar Ochel Nevelos Lahachis? Here Rava says he's Kosher Liedus. So I suggested, again, I haven't yet found any source for this, but just leave me openly, my intuition tells me that according to Rava, there's some sort of moral compass that there's no reason why a person would falsify his testimony, come into a Jewish court of law, and say that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000 just because he wants to be a lahachisnik. You know what I mean? He doesn't gain any money by that. So why would we suspect? He has a natural sense, even though, again, he's a rebellious fellow. He's rejected, you know, what we call true Torah Judaism. He's not an observant Jew in any sense of the term, but he's not a Rosh of the Chamas, and he has a certain a certain credibility. Abai goes very far. Abai says no. He's a Rosha. A Rosha doesn't have any stance, any stature, and we cannot accept him as a witness.
So, according to Rav Mumar Ochel Nevelos LeTeyavon, if there's no financial gain, is he? If it's just that he happens to like the taste, likes the taste of treifa meat over the taste of kosher meat, and there's no financial gain.
That person, I would say, for our purposes, is already lahachis. What do I mean by lahachis? I went too far here by dramatizing lahachis, that, you know, he's so rebellious and so forth and so on. Lahachis means that, you know, he has such a desire to violate the Torah that for the sake of fulfilling that desire, he will violate the Torah. You know, if he likes, you know, the vela because it tastes better than kosher meat, but he gains nothing financially, he's still a Rasha of Abaye, who's Pasolyedus, but he's not the Rasha of Rava, who is Rasha de Chama. So according to Rava, the only time that we can passel someone is if he violates the Torah for some financial benefit. Yeah. So let's just say that, again, I'm trying to figure out, according to Rava, how we can rely on a Rasha for testimony. It's a little bit shocking when you think about it. We paskin like Abaye in this case, it's one of Yal Kagam. But I still want to understand Rava, you know, that Rava would rely on a Rasha. I mean,
he wouldn't lie. He's quite upfront about it. I'm a Rasha.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, I think he's not choshen on sheker. That's the only way I can understand it. I'm waiting to find someone who...
He's principled in his non-observance.
That's right.
Right.
There's a certain...
There's a special English word that compartmentalize. You know, in this area, he's going to be a Rasha, but in all other areas, he's a...
I would say, Gershon, if you agree with this formulation, this law divides up into ritual law and ethical law. He is an ethical person, not because of the Torah. That's his nature, and every person is ethical unless we prove it otherwise. If he's, you know, if you could buy him off, then we're not going to trust him. I don't know what the law is in secular law. If there's such a thing as a person coming to testify, and we don't accept his testimony because he has a record of being bribed in the past.
We don't do that. English law.
But I think the jury has a right to do that, no? If the jury might decide, not every case comes to a jury, right?
But in terms of him being able to look at the people that they have.
Right, these lowlives
that they have is testifying. Right.
But I think the jury is, if I'm not mistaken, again, I'm not a lawyer, so. But I think they could ask for character witnesses. You know, if they want to, if they have questions whether they believe this test.
Simon Wiesenthal refused to wear a yarmulke, and he was anti-observance in many cases, despite his creating this incredible museum of tolerance and all that, because he witnessed in the camps a Jew who had the one sidur was demanding that if you want to use his one sidur, you had to give a part of your daily ration.
Nice.
And then later, subsequent to that,
Mesve. So the Gemara now asks the following question. We have a pasuk, Al Toshes Yodcha Im Rosha Lios Eid Chamos, and we weren't sure how to read this pasuk. We're going to learn a brisa now that will hopefully give us a clue how to read this pasuk. Because the pasuk, as I said before, has a reish and a sefer. The first part of the pasuk says, "Al toshes rosh ha'ed," and this is the part of the pasuk that Abai is emphasizing. You cannot accept a rosh as an aid. But the second part of the pasuk says, "Al toshes chamas aid," someone who steals money for the love of money violates the Torah. So the Brisa says that included in both the reish and the sefer, we have the following two categories: we have elu gazlonim. So those who steal money, they fit into the description of chamas. And then we have moel and b'shvuos, that they're careless about a shvua. Like they'll take a shvua shav, like for example, they'll point to something that's clearly not gold, it's made of wood, and they'll say, oh, I take an oath that this is gold. And he knows, and everybody knows, that he's taking the name of God in vain, and this is a shvua shav. And he's also a Rasha, even though, again, he's not doing it for the love of money, he's just flippant about Shavua. My love, shouldn't we assume, Echad Shavua Shav, the Echad Shavua Mammon? The Gemara is already hinting at the answer here, that we're not going to limit this description of Mol and B'Shavuos, those who are careless about Shavua, to the case of Shavua Mammon, of someone who under oath denied that he owed money or claimed that he owes, that somebody else owes him money. So for the love of money, he is an aid, Toshis Chamas aid, he's a rush of Chamas. But even in the case of Shvua Shav, where somebody took an oath that was a false oath without any monetary connotations, he also is a Rasha. And that would support the Shita of Abai against Rava. So the Gemara says, "Lo, Rava is going to limit the description of this category called Mol and Vishvua." So he's going to say, "Idi Shvuas Mammon." That even though the word Shvuas is in plural, which would seem to indicate two different categories of Shvua, one category is called Shvuas Shav, which has no monetary implications, and the other is Shvuas Mammon. But nevertheless, he's going to interpret both Shvuas as referring to Shvuas Mammon, because again, according to Rava, the only Rosh who's possible is a Rosh of the Chamas who gains something in monetary terms. So now the Gemara asks, Umay Shvuos, but what do you mean there are two categories? There are no two categories, you're limiting it to one category, so why do you use the plural? And the Gemara answers, L'Shvuos the Alma. In other words, there are many different people out there, and those who take Shvuos one to the other in a court of law for monetary purposes, those who are careless and they've been proven that they violate this terrible prohibition of Shvuos Sheker, and they lie under oath, those people are Rasha de Chamos, they are psulim liyed. So the Shvuos, the Alma, by the way, this phrase, the Alma, is very, very common throughout Shas. In other words, whenever you want to tell us that the plural is not being used because of different halachic categories, but rather the plural is being used because there are different scenarios or different groups of people or individuals, so you employ the plural. So that's the Shvuos B'Loshon Rabin. Now again, if you take a look at the Braisa, you remember that the Braisa opens up by quoting two psukim, or to be more exact, two parts of the same verse, Altoshes Chomos Ein and Altoshes Rosha Ein. So the Braisa, according to Abaye, is very sharp, because the Braisa quotes these two categories in the Pasuk, because it's referring to two categories of Shvuos, whether it's a Shvuos Shav or a Shvuos Mamon. According to Rav, on the other hand, it's a little bit odd that the Braisa had to emphasize Altoshes Rasha and then Altoshes Chamas. But maybe what the Braisa is doing, according to Rav, it's actually qualifying or describing what the Shvuos, what the Rasha in the Reisha is all about. The Reisha is talking about a Rasha de Chamas. Meisvei, now we have another Kasha. This kasha is going to be a kasha objection against Abaye. And this is based on another braisa. The braisa starts in a very similar way to the previous braisa. It's a sort of mirror image. It says, Altoshes Rasha Eid, Altoshes Chamas Eid, which according to Rava would be interpreted as a qualification. Now, what kind of Rasha is it? It's a Rasha de Chamas. But then the braisa says, Elu Agazlonu Mumalvei Beribios. So this refers to people who are motivated for what? Why do they violate the Isur Gzeilo or the Isur Ribis? For the sake of money. Which means that the Braisa in listing cases exhausts its list with cases that fit under Rasha de Chamas. Tiufta da Abaye, this is a real strong question on Abaye. Because according to Abaye, if he would have authored this Braisa, then the Braisa should have given us a number of other cases of a Rasha. And it shouldn't have limited it to the case of a Rasha de Chamas. Now, you and I may think that since it says Tiuvta de Abaye, it means that Abaye is now upshlugged, as we say, and therefore we're going to pass him like Rava. But we're going to see in the next Gemara that in fact the Machlokas Abaye v'Rava is a Machlokas Tanoim, and we're going to accept that Tana that actually reflects the sheet of Abaye, and then we're going to say Hilchos HaKavasei d'Abaye, and this is once again going to fit into what we call Yal Kagam, those six exceptional cases where we accept Abaye. Now, what I would like to do for a second is a little bit of a flashback, if we can, to the Gemara on Daf Chavav, which records a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes regarding the case of Choshed al Arayos. So this is Chavav Amid Beis. If you could, again, don't lose the place on Chav Zayin, but going back just to one Amud, to Chavav Amid Beis, if you want to count up from the bottom of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 lines up. You'll see the first word in the line is Mevazeh. And towards the end of that line, Omer of Nachman. HaChoshed al Arayos Kosher Liedus. Now let's just take a moment to contemplate this statement of Rav Nachman. We're talking about someone, again, there's Machlokes Rishonim what the word Choshed means here. Some Rishonim learn that there were Edim that testified that this man had an immoral relationship with a married woman, and it's not his wife, and yet he's Kosher Liedus. Rav Sheshes is going to disagree. Rav Sheshes says that this person is going to be punished in a Jewish court of law for violating these terrible sins, and then you're going to tell me he's kosher. Is it possible, Rabosai, and I mentioned this in preparation for my Shia today at 10:30, which is an Iyun Shia in Sanhedrin, is it possible that this machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes is a mirror image of the machlokas between Abaye v'Rava? Whereas Abaye says it's a psul Rasha Liedus, and Rava says it's only a psul of Chamas, of someone who violates the Torah because of the love of money. Well, in this case of immorality, again, unless there's some money involved, but let's assume there's no money involved, would you pasul him for Eidus? Rav Nachman actually says that he's Kosher Liedus, but Rav Shesha says he's Pasul Liedus. Where would you, if you wanted to do a matching over here, when Rav Shesha says that for sure he's a Rasha, he's getting Malkus for this, and he's Pasul Liedus, who does that sound like to you?
Abaye.
Abaye, exactly. That's why I think that we're going to have to figure out why the Gemara doesn't analyze this machlokes shin Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes in the light of the machlokes shin Abaye v'Rav, whereas Rav Sheshes seems to take the high road that any Rosh is possibly edus like Abaye. Rav Nachman says, well, wait a minute, is he motivated by, you know, by the love for money? It doesn't seem so. You know, love for ladies maybe, but not love for money. And therefore, he's not a Rosh in the Chumash. My only problem is that the Gemara says Umoder of Nachman le'inyan edus isha shu pasul, that if he comes, this person who's living this loose life, and he wants to testify about a married woman that her husband's dead, for example, or her husband delivered a divorce, he's not believed. That's even according to Rav Nachman. Why is he pasul? After all, he's not a Rosh of the Chumash. If we identify Rav Nachman with Rava, that the only psul Rosh in the Torah for Eidus is Rosh of the Chumash, why is Li'inyan Eidus Isha who pasul?
Maybe he's considered a Nogeva.
Exactly. Here's a case where even Rava, and that's where we see it here in Rav Nachman, would go as far as to say that I don't need a Rosh of the Chumash. There's something called a Chashad al Hasheker. To the same way that a Rosh of the Chumash, since he, for the love of money, will violate the tradition of the Torah, and therefore we can't trust him, so too, if we have someone else who, for the love of whatever, would be inclined to testify that this woman, for example, is no longer married, which makes her very available, then we can't trust him. So there's no stira here. I think even if we would accept, which again is very iffy, that Rav Nachman is a reflection of what we see here in Rava, and they're both looking for Rosh the Chumash, but what underlies Rosh the Chumash is what I call Chashash Sheker. We think he has vested interest, he might be paid off, and therefore he could falsify his testimony. That is true in the case of Chashad al Rayas, if he's testifying Beatus, Beatus Isha. So that's something that I want to get into, Mirtz Hashem, later on today when we have a little bit more time. Nema Kitanoi. Is it possible that this machlokas shin Abaye v'Rava really is an ancient machlokas, and it reflects a machlokas tanoi in the following braisa? So this is a machlokas shin Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi about Eid Zomen. According to the first opinion, that's Rabbi Meir, Eid Zomen Pasul L'chol HaTorah Kula, which means that if the Eid turns out to be an Eid Zomen, that means the second pair of Eidim testified against the first pair of Eidim, Imanu HaYisem, then he's a Pasul, he's an Eid Pasul, he has perjured himself in a court of law, he gave a false testimony, he is disqualified henceforth for Eidus. Comes along Rabbi Yossi and he says, wait a minute, I want to qualify this, I want to limit this. When is he possible to call Eidus Shabbat Torah? That's only Shehuzam Bedine Nefashos. That he had come to testify in a capital case, a murder crime, let's say, for example, or any other capital case, and we were mazim him. So that's called Huzam al Dover Chamur. He was found to be a liar on something that's very Chamur. I mean, we're talking about Dini Nefashos. If even in a case of Nefashos, he went as far as to falsify his testimony, we can't trust the person. He was willing, for the sake of whatever motivated him, to testify about someone who's guiltless, that he's to be condemned for a capital crime. He is a criminal of the most hideous nature, and he's going to be put to death. How can he do such a thing if he's so pliable about lying that he'll certainly lie in lesser cases? And here's the punchline of Rabbi Yossi: Huzam bedine mamonos. What about a case of someone who testified in a monetary case and we found him to be a liar because the Torah says Eidim Zomim are liars, and now he wants to come and testify in a much more chomer case, a case of a capital nature, is kosher l'dinei nefashos. We can trust him as far as nefashos is concerned. Now I'm going to cover the next line in the Gemara, for myself. If you want to play this game with me, you could join me and try to figure out how we're going to match up the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi with that of Abaye and Rava. It seems to me that Rabbi Meir is using what I call the absolute rule, whereas Rabbi Yossi is looking at it in a relative sense, meaning it depends how far this guy is willing to go. So that Rabbi Yossi is putting on his thinking cap about what we call chashash sheker. Do we suspect this person of lying? And Rabbi Yossi now makes the fine distinction. Well, if he testified in a capital crime, then certainly he would lie in a lesser case crime. But if he only testified in a monetary case, then it's quite possible that we could still believe him in a dinei nefashot case, which is much more chamor. And in that sense, I think we should identify Rabbi Yossi, and you'll tell me if I'm right, with Rava. Why do I want to identify Rabbi Yossi with Rava? Because Rava, again, is always trying to analyze with the relativity theory, would he lie? And the answer is, if for the sake of money he'll be willing to do this, he'll eat an avela for the sake of money, then for the sake of money you could bribe him and he'll...
But it's ironic, because the Dinei Mavanot, he's lying. So that doesn't seem to match up with Rava.
Well, I would say the following, that according to Rava, if he's lying in Dini Mamanot, we can't accept his testimony in Dini Mamanot because he's already proven himself to be a Shakran. But if you want to ask me, is he going to be a Shakran in Dini Nefashos and put someone to death? Here we could use a little bit of our moral compass, and that would explain Rabbi Yossi. But if you take the sheet of Rabbi Meir with the absolutist approach, that since he's a Rasha... A liar is a liar, he's a Rashi, he violated the Torah law. I'm not going to look for motivations, I'm not going to make distinctions. Well, this far he would go, but that far he wouldn't go. Let's see if I guessed it right. Nema, Abaye ki Rabbi Meir, v'Rava ki Rabbi Yossi. Not bad. In other words, Abaye has the absolutist theory that a person who violates the Torah law is possibly, this is a Rasha, even if he eats Nevelos lit hachis, which means he's not getting any money. So we're not going to enter into distinctions and dream at the finger, well, this he would lie and that he wouldn't lie, he's a Rasha, period. And that's exactly what Rabbi Meir is saying, that he's a Rasha. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, and Rava follows suit, and he says, well, there's no absolute psul of Rasha, but rather, let's look at where and to what extent he's chashed l'shaker. And Rabbi Yossi says that we should make a distinction between l'chumra and l'kula. That even if he is willing to lie l'kula, he wouldn't be lying l'chumra. Again, if he's lying l'chumra in a capital case, he'll certainly lie in a lower case. Then he's chashed l'shaker, and then everybody would agree he's posel yedus, whether you hold like Rabbi Yossi, whether you want to hold like Rava, he is posel yedus. But if you're talking about a case, mi kula l'chumra, that we should assume that since in a lesser case, which I call a monetary case, it's less severe obviously than a capital case, that since he lied in a lesser case, in l'kula, therefore he should be posel l'chumra. Mechatesi, why should I go that far? And that reflects very much the shita, the approach of Rava. That Rava is looking for a chashash sheker, and Rava thinks that in the case of an ochel of a mumer ochel nevelas le hachis, he's not chashad al sheker. So let's read the Gemara inside. Nema. I'll just read the Gemara, and then Jerry. Nema, should we say that Abaye ki Rabbi Meir, Rava ki Rabbi Yossi, Abaye ki Rabbi Meir di Amar Amrina Mikula L'chumra, that even though he falsified his testimony in a lower case crime, in a case of Dini Mamanos, we still completely exclude him and describe even for a Chumra case, and that really reflects the sheet of Abaye, that even a person who's not chashud to eat nevelos because he wants to save himself money, but nevertheless he eats nevelos lahachis, then he's chashud on any edus sheker. So we're going to go really from kula to chumra, meaning we're not going to make distinctions. We're going to assume this absolutist theory. Now I just want to add one sentence here from Rashi. Rashi says, in explaining Abaye, that even though Nevela, and we're talking about an Okel Nevela Slahachis, is Kala, it's relatively light. Why is that light? I mean, obviously eating Nevela is not a light violation, but relatively it's light because it's Ra LaShamayim V'Eino Ra LeBriots. No one is injured, no one takes a loss as a result of this guy gouging himself with Nevela. It's Ra LaShamayim. Now, should we trust him in what's called an Avera Chamura, which would be both Ra LaShamayim and Ra LeBriots, which means if he wants to testify, for example, in a monetary case, and we should be choshed that maybe he'll lie and falsify his testimony, that's called Ra LaShamayim, but it's also Ra LeBriots, because somebody's going to lose as a result of it. So therefore, comes along Abaye, and he says that even though Nevela relatively, again I emphasize that word relatively, right, is an Avera Kala, because it's only Ra LaShamayim, it's not Ra LeBriots, nevertheless he's still possible, and we're afraid of lie, even in a case of a more severe Avera, which is called an Avera Chamura, which is both Ra LaShamayim and Ra LeBriots. So there's an absolute psul here, and we're not going to go with any sort of logic that says, well, Adkan, he'll only be willing to falsify his testimony for Kala, but not for Chamura. No. Straight across the board, he is possible. Rav, on the other hand, the Omek Rav Yossi, the Omek Michumra Lekula Amrinon, Mikul Lechumra Lo Amrinon. We make these distinctions. If he testifies in something, that's not only Ra LaShamayim, it's Ra LeBriots. For example, he falsifies his testimony in a capital case. But Bikul Lechumra, if we go down a major rung, and we're talking about a Dover Kal, in which it's only Ra LaShamayim, but it's not Ra LeBriots, in such a case, he's not choshed. He hasn't proven himself by the fact that he violated his commitment to truth in a testimony of Kula. Kula means where it was only Ra LaShamayim. We're not going to be choshed him. That'll go a step further, and he will falsify his testimony in a Chumra case, which is Ra LeBriots as well. Now, I just have one comment here on Rashi, because before, when we saw the Shita of Rabbi Yossi says that Huzam B'dine Momenos Kosher Le Dine Nefashos. Let's start again. Huzam B'dine Nefashos is then he is Pasul Le Dine Momenos. Huzam Le Dine Momenos Kosher Le Dine Nefashos. I'm going with Rabbi Yossi. So I understand Rashi's explanation of Rabbi Yossi in the second case. If he was Huzam B'dine Momenos, is right, one second. I'm a little bit confused. Just a second. Let's go back to the first case. If he was Huzam B'dine Nefashos, that's called Chamur. Why? It says Rashi, because that's Ra LeBriots and Ra LaShamayim and Ra LeBriots. Now let's flip it around. Okay, now we get to the case of Huzam B'dine Momenos, and that's called Kal, and he's Kosher B'dine Nefashos. I'm not sure why Rashi thinks that Dine Momenos is Ra LaShamayim and not Ra LeBriots. I mean, Dine Momenos is also Ra LeBriots.
But where's Rashi? But Rashi's not saying that. Rashi's not bringing that Ra LaShamayim. He's saying that the cases of Kal is money, and the other is nefashos. Two separate things. That a person could be, he for money he might do one thing, but when it comes to life and death, he won't do it. That's his thing. That's Kal.
Right.
So
right.
Not having to do with Bria, Shemayim or not. That's right. Not where's he doesn't.
Yeah, no. I was influenced here by this footnote in the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, in explaining Rabbi Meir of Mikul Lechumra, that Rabbi Meir has this absolutist approach. I'll just read to you his footnote. He says that Kasha Nifsal Masha Hayed Bedini Momenos Hakal Nifsal Gam Lehoid Bedini Nefash Sachomur. And he writes, V'afa Labaye Afshalo Nechshad Ela Ba'Vera Shalachilas Nevelos. Do you follow? He's making this analogy between Rabbi Meir and Abaye that goes me kula l'chumra. And he says, in Rabbi Meir's l'kula l'chumra, it's something that he was made b'dini momenos, which is kal compared to the nefashos. That I understand. But he says, what's the parallel to Abaye? Why is Abaye also considered kula l'chumra? And here he says, because in the case of Abaye, he's only choshed for an avera of achilas nevelos, which is kala, and he says shehi kala mitneshu rak ra l'shamayim v'yenu ra l'brios, is nechshad gam lehoid edu sheker shehu shehi avera chamura mipnei shezeh ra l'shamayim v'labrios. So he's comparing, in Abai's frame of reference, nevela, achilas nevela, to edu sheker. And he's saying the following, that nevela is not ra labrios, it's only ra l'shamayim. And edu sheker is ra labrios and l'shamayim. And that's parallel to Rabbi Meir. But again, Rabbi Meir is a little bit different. Rabbi Meir is talking about kula l'chumra, that means moment versus nefashos. That I understand. And Rabbi Meir's chiddush is that even if he was only proven to be a shakran on dini momenos, we're gonna apostle him even for chamura, which is dini nefashos. I don't know if that's exactly the same as what Abaye is saying. Abaye is saying something totally different. Abaye is telling us that ochel nevelos is not choshed al sheker. He's never been proven. He's saying that if it's almost like a kal v'chomer, I guess. If Abaye is saying that even though he was never proven, not even in one occasion, to have falsified his testimony, and yet we're choshed him for edu sheker. So he doesn't have any mark whatsoever on his record of edu sheker. The mark on his record is that he eats nevelos, in this case the teyamon, but he eats nevelos, so he's choshed on edus sheker. And if that be the case, then how much more so if he has a mark on his record, he's already been proven to testify falsely in the case of what? Of dine mamonos, then how much more so would we say that he would even testify in a fascist case? It's a very strange kind of kalvachomer. I don't know. Nochma, I just want to go over this one more time. I'm not comfortable with this. Maybe, Asher, you're comfortable, so you'll tell me, you'll straighten me out, but I'm not comfortable with this. Abaye is talking about someone who eats nevelos. Does that mean that... So one second. If he's kosher, if he eats nevelos, then we exclude him from testimony, even though he's not harming anybody. So how much more so if he testified and harmed somebody through his testimony? How much more so could we not accept his testimony? Yeah, but nefashos is, you know. You follow? What bothers me is that the distinction between life and death is not the same as... Abai's point is that he's a Rasha because he eats nevelos. And again, you could have said that Abai simply holding a Rasha is a Rasha, and therefore he's possibly AIDS, but he's saying something different. He's saying that we want to know if we go from Kula Lachumra, which I thought Kula Lachumra meant that once he's proven himself to, he has no problem falsifying his testimony. Again, it's only in Mavinos, but. But see again, Reb Meir, in my mind, Reb Meir is a radical chiddush.
Why?
Because again, to kill someone, I mean, you know, people steal, but I don't think that murder is necessarily. I mean, Again, unless you want...
You're taking the absolute once he's a Rosh.
See, again, if you would drop this whole explanation, which I don't remember which Rishonim he's basing, I thought it was Rashi.
If it's not Rashi,
then trust me, he's not inventing it. Again, after 10 years of learning this, I could tell you it's the list of scholars here. You'll press me on the issue exactly to give you the name, but I'm reading it to you from the text. It's not an invention. Again, I thought that the Gemara was saying that there's something called the Psul Rasha. What generates the Psul Rasha? He violates the Torah, whether he violates the Torah because he eats Nevela in Avai's case, whether he violates the Torah because of Losana Reachet Shaker in Ravi Meir's case, and he testified falsely. That's exactly what's going on. He's Psul B'Torah's Rasha, and that's it. We can't trust his testimony. The Torah says Rasha is Psul. Call it Gzeiros HaKosov. And I thought that that's the equation, the analogy here between Rabbi Meir and Abai. And I could live with that. I could be comfortable with that. But once he goes into Kula L'Chumra, and he says the following. Again, the language of the Gemara is that Abai ki Rabbi Meir, the Amrina Mikula L'Chumra. So he wants to take the words Mikula L'Chumra and apply them to both Rabbi Meir and Abai. So how do we get Kul L'Chumra in Abai? I understand very well Kul L'Chumra in Rabbi Meir. You're going from Dinin Mamonos to Dinin Afashos. That's Kul L'Chumra. But now he wants to figure out, the Gemara says that even Abai is going Mikul L'Chumra. Because the Gemara says Abai ki Rabbi Meir, which means that we say Amrina Mikul L'Chumra. So what's the Kul L'Chumra of Abaye? And the answer is that the Vela is Kal vis-a-vis Eidu Sheker. Why is that so? I don't know. You tell me. Which is more chomer? Eating nevela or testifying falsely? And to me, flip a coin, write a PhD thesis, and you decide which is more chomer. So where's the kula chumra? So he introduces these concepts called Rala Shamayim Rala Brios. I think it's from Rashi. I'll have to find the Rashi for you inside. So we'll see it. I think it's the Rashi Divra Maska Aliba. See if you can find the Rashi down here. Divra Maskal Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Do you have a Rashi? Yeah, it's about here.
Yeah.
So Rashi is going to introduce Rala Shamayim Rala Brios. And Rashi is going to learn that Abai's logic of Mikul L'Chumra means that even though Nevela is lacking the element of Rala Brios, because nobody is affected by his eating Nevela, nevertheless, Abai says he's Possel. Even for a case, he's Choshen the Sheker, even for a case of Ra Labrios, which means Eidu Sheker. But my only question is, would Abai go as far as to say that he's willing to kill somebody for that? That was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that if he falsifies his testimony in Dini Mominus, he's choshed on murder, so to speak. I don't know that Abai said that. You know, again, I admit to you that that there is a way of gauging and defining nevela as kala with a kuf, right, relative to Eidu Sheker, which is chamura, because in Eidu Sheker we have the additional element of ra labrios. But I don't know if therefore we're going to go as far as Rabbi Meir went with this. You know, that's why I would have avoided this whole business. I would have just said glaich, straight away, that we're talking about a psul rasha, and if the Torah says that a rasha is psul, it doesn't matter lakula yahin lachumraher. It's a rasha is a rasha is a rasha. Whereas Rava, and before him Rabbi Yossi, they're going into the details and the minutia of each scenario. You know, do we have a chashash sheker? Do we not? Let's distinguish. He only goes this far; he wouldn't go that far. You know, he's willing to eat nevelis according to Rava, but that doesn't mean that because he's a lahachitness, he has forfeited his moral compass. And in the case of Rabbi Yossi, even though he's willing to steal money from someone through his edus, but he's not willing to kill someone through his edus. That I understand. So that question I want to leave for tomorrow. Maybe we can work this out. There's a stipler on this sugya, but the stipler on this sugya, which I'm afraid to touch with a 10-foot pole, he is interested in the equation between Rava and Rabbi Yossi, right? That the Gemara says that Rava Omer ki Rabbi Yossi, right? The stipler thinks that that's not so simple because Rava needs a rush of the chamas, and he doesn't understand in Rabbi Yossi's case of an eitzomim l'nefashos, why do you call that a rush of the chamas? Okay, that's going to be the stipler, but I'm more confused by the equation between Abai and Rabbi Meir. That's what bothers my mind. So let's just see how the Gemara rejects this interdependence. Lo, these two debates are independent one of the other, and the machlokas shein Abai v'Rav is not an ancient machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir. However, we have made some progress. Why? Because I'll leave it to Rav Yossi kuliyamalo pligi. Both Abai v'Rav will agree that according to Rav Yossi, a mumer linevela is kasher liedus. In other words, Rav Yossi certainly should be identified with Rava. Are you with me, Rav Yossi? In other words, Abai is not going to deny that Rav Yossi belongs to the camp of Rava, or right, the other way around. And why is that? Because again, Rav Yossi said that if he's choshen on a dover kal, he's not possible for a dover chamor, which means that even if a person eats nevela, that doesn't mean that he's going to falsify his testimony. And basically, Rav Yossi, with his relativity theory, in which he goes into the details that he tries to figure out, is he chashid on check or is not, he reflects the approach of Rava. There's no absolute psul of Russia, if you want to use our terminology, and therefore even Abai would certainly have to agree that Rav Yossi is in the other camp. He's in the anti camp. He belongs to Rava's camp. Oh. Keep Ligyal Liba the Rabbi Meir. The machlokas shein Abai v'Rav is according to Rabbi Meir. You get the impression that we're going to paskin like Rabbi Meir. Abai ki Rabbi Meir, which means that Rabbi Meir is going to superimpose the absolute rule of paslus, and we're going to suspect him of murder, you know, in testifying in a murder case to kill somebody who's innocent, because of the absolute psul of Russia. And therefore Abaye says, if that be the case, then if he's a boomer olch and the veil is lahachis, he's a psul Russia, and that's it. Don't give me any song and dance about is he chashul sheker, is he not chashul sheker. Rava is going to tell you, ad kan lo kama Rabbi Meir hasam el gabi eid zomem de mamon de ral. Oh, here's where Rashi got it from: de rala shamayim v'rala brios. When does Rava say that there's this relativity theory? Meaning,
right.
I'm sorry, I meant to say, when does Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir was the one who has the absolute, right? We're arguing according to Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is willing to say that what? That an Eid Zomim is possible l'chol dini Torah. Says Rava Adkan loka amar Rabbi Meir hasham. Which means that you go from Kal to Chamur, because again, if he's found to be an Eitzomim in Mammon, then according to Rabbi Meir, he's possible even for Dine Nefashos El Legabi Eitzomim. Why? Because if he testified falsely in a case of Mammon, so then he's Rala Shamayim V'Rala Brios. So he has a double Avera here. And that's where Rabbi Meir would say that we can passel him straight across the board, because he's already in a category of an Avera which has both dimensions to it, of both Lashamayim and Labrios. Right? Because he's testifying against somebody in a momentous case, right. So that's called Ra Labrios, and also he's violating Losana Brachet Shakar through his Eid Sheker, which is Ra Lashamayim. So Rabbi Meir says that once he reaches that category in which he violates an avera that's both Rala Shamayim and Rala Brios, then we have to exclude his Eidus. But that doesn't mean that Rabbi Meir is going to exclude the Eidus of someone who's only Rala Shamayim and he's not Rala Brios. Aval Hocha. But now let's get the case of Ochel Vevelis Lahachis. So Rava wants to claim that here even Rabbi Meir would say that he's believed to testify, and he's not disqualified as an aide. Why? Because in the case of Ochel Nevelos, he's Ra L'Shamayim, but Eino Ra L'Brios. He's only a Rosh L'Shamayim. Nobody lost anything. Nobody suffered any damages by the fact that he ate Nevela. It's therefore we're not going to be choshe that he'll even be rala brios. Lo, now we're not going to apostle him for edus mamon. He's not choshe to lie on edus mamon, which would be also rala brios, simply because he eats nevelos. And that's a case that even Rabbi Meir would agree to. So it's not that Rabbi Meir is going with some sort of absolute psul of Rasha, which is certainly the way Abai would interpret Rabbi Meir, and that was our intuitive, knee-jerk interpretation, but rather Rava, according to Rava's interpretation, Rabbi Meir is going into the kishkes. He's trying to figure out, is he choshed al sheker, is he not choshed al sheker? We're going to differentiate between the following two categories, the following two scenarios. If he's already choshed on something that's rala shamayim and rala brios, then he's out. So he was huzam bidini mominos. And once he was huzam bidini mominos, then he violated a double avera, right? A beinonim l'makom and a beinonim l'chavera. But as far as Nevela is concerned, where it's only Bein Adam L'Makom, here Rabbi Meir would agree that he's not choshed to be Meshaker on something that's Ra'al Abrios as well, namely an Edus L'Dinei Mamonos. So let's just think. Does this at all touch on what we were discussing earlier? Let me just think about this. In the case of Abaye, Abaye is going to identify. Our problem was, how do we identify Abaye with Rabbi Meir? No, just one second. No. Our problem was that we didn't understand before. Now maybe now we have some more clarity here. We didn't understand the equation between Abaye and Rabbi Meir. Because again, Rabbi Meir went mikula l'chumra, and he was choshed someone to kill someone. Now, when I use the word kill, you understand what I mean, right. To be made in the choshed. And that's not what Rava said. Rava said that if he is Rala Shamayim, then he might also be Rala Brios, right? So Yet Nevelus, which is only Rala Shamayim, and Abai passes him for Edus. And why is it Ochel Nevelus Lachas Posel Yedus going to Abai? Because if he's already Rala Shamayim, then he's Posel Yedus. So therefore he should be choshed. You see, but it still bothers me because what the Gemara's the Gemara's analysis of Rabbi Meir is mikula lechumra. Mikula lechumra, correct? So I would say mikula lechumra is already an analysis of whether he's choshed al sheker. In other words, we're saying that he would go as far as to perjure himself even in a capital case. Abai at least was talking about a case where he ate, since he ate nevela, so therefore he's choshed on edus mamon. Would Abai therefore say that he's choshed on edus nefashos? Nochamo. Abai says that even if he's only choshed on what? On Rala Brios, he's choshed on Rala Shamayim. If he's only choshed on Rala Shamayim, nevertheless, he's possible even if it's Rala Brios. And therefore, Abai is going to say, like Rabbi Meir, that even in a murder case, we have to assume. And even though we started with Rala Brios because he was Huzam Bedine. Bedini Mominos. So he's already perjured himself. And when Rabbi Meir holds, we're not going to distinguish any. We're going to say these choshed even on nefashos. Does Abai have to be committed to that position? That's what I can't figure out. Abai's talking about a case where he's a Rasha because he eats nevelos. So Abai's going to say that even in the fashos he's possible. Since Abai says that even in the fashos he's possible, why is he possible? Because he's Raul Abrios. I'm sorry, scratch it. Because he's Raul Shamayim. So in other words, Abai is saying that once you're Raul Shamayim, you're always possible, and therefore you'd be choshed even in a murder case, correct? Because Abai would not accept his testimony of this nevela, this guy who eats nevela, he's excluded from testimony in a murder case. And now we can attach that to Rabbi Meir according to Abaye, and then we'll see Rava, because Abaye is going to say that what happened in the case of Rabbi Meir, he was Huzam v'dine Momenos. So he's Pasul in the Fashos. I mean, Rabbi Meir is not entering into, according to Abaye at least, he's not entering into the distinction between Ra Labrios and Ra Shemai, because even in Huzam Lemon, he's already Ra Labrios. So the distinction that we made for Abaye, that in Abaye's frame of reference, Ochel Nevelos, he's Pasul for what? He's Pasul for Edus, even though he was only Ra La Shamayim, that has no application to Rabbi Meir. But Meir is only telling us that once he's posel Yedus, he's posel straight across. Abaye is also of that opinion, because Abaye is also going to posel for Dini Nefoshos, even though what? Even though what he did was only Ra
L'Shamayim.
Ra L'Shamayim, and yet he's posel for Dini Nefoshos.
Ra L'Shamayim is enough. Once you're Ra L'Shamayim, maybe everything else is always Ra'al Shemayim then. Maybe you really,
right, it seems from the Gemara that everything is Ra'al Shemayim. Some is also Ra'al Abriyah, some is not.
So once you already have Ra'al Shemayim, you're going to be, well, maybe that's a bias sheet, is that really, once you're Ra'al Shemayim, Muma Ochel Nevelos, it's Ra'al Shemayim. Once you're Ra'al Shemayim, it doesn't matter. And everything, you've already put yourself in that category of Ra'al Shemayim. Now what would a bias say if he was just, if it was, How would he say, what would the sheet of Abaye if he said it was for Momenos? If I was possible,
who's a Lamam?
Who's a Lamam?
So who's a Lamam is Adarabi. He's got, not only is he Rala Shabbai, he's even Rala Rios. So for sure he has to be.
So that's what
it's like a Kalvachom.
So that makes sense. And I understand Abaye the whole way then.
Let's go to Rava and then we'll let you go. So Rava says the following. No, that's not what Rav Meir has in mind. Rav Meir only has in mind a case where he's both Rala Shamayim and Rala Brios. But in the case of Ochel Nevelos Lahachis, as we said over and over again, it's only Ra'al Shamayim. So that's not going to apostle him for Brios. Okay then? So we'll believe it. We'll review this tomorrow, just the beginning of the Shia. So we'll. Because there are nuances. I remember when I learned this Sugya together with Dr. Joel Sachs. You remember Dr. Sachs used to come to have Shiurim?
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant fellow. He's an ophthalmologist from Detroit.